gone into it here a little bit. So we have been justified or saved by our faith. That verse, Romans 1. But only because Jesus came, died for our sins, and gave us access to God's grace. And because of that, our entire lives are transformed. We become people of the Spirit instead of people of flesh and blood. And because of this, we have hope. And the scripture says we can boast in this hope. Now, typically, boasting is not something that's seen as a Christian virtue. In fact, Paul criticizes those that boast in some of the earlier chapters in Romans. But the boasting Paul is talking about here is anticipatory. In other words, we are boasting in our hope of salvation and of things to come based on this grace from God. It's not about something that we've done that they're boasting. So to boast is to proclaim this hope that we have so that others can share in it. And then we come to some very thought-provoking verses. Look at verse 3. And not only that, we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. We boast in our sufferings. I think I've asked you this before. Does our faith in God mean that we will no longer suffer in this life or face difficulties? No, I think we know the answer. It does not mean that we will be exempt from those things. So when I hear statements about God protecting someone or keeping them from harm, that's not to say it's not true, but I often get kind of a little cringe inside my stomach because it makes me think about the people that do get sick and are not and do not get well and those that die. You know, I don't know why things happen the way they do. I don't believe that everything happens in this world for a reason, or that God can cause evil things to happen to us. Now, I do believe that God can and will intervene and influence circumstances in this world. In fact, I believe prayer is one of the most powerful things that we can do, because through prayer, God is inviting us to participate with Him in the eternal events of heaven and earth. To pray is to be given an opportunity to work with God. So God is good. And unfortunately, evil has made its way into the world, partly as a result of the freedom that we have given to us by God. We have the freedom to think and to choose and to act as we please. For instance, we can choose to love and honor God in our lives and in our families. Or we can choose not to. And sometimes people choose instead to honor themselves or other people or things. But choices typically carry consequences, don't they? And poor choices can snowball into evil in many forms. And just so we don't think that it's only humanity that causes evil things to happen, let me read you some scripture from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Suffering, then, is a part of our human condition. And if there is one thing we can all be sure of, we will experience suffering in our lives. Some will experience more than others. But together we are born, we live, and we die in a world where evil and suffering exist. But we don't have to succumb to that evil. It's also the Apostle Paul that wrote in his letter to Philippi, "For I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." So it is through this suffering that we learn to endure, to grow stronger in our faith, to find within us a spirit of hope. And that can come only through trust in Jesus, in our God and Savior. And it's here that I want to ask you again to look at our second reading this morning in the Gospel of John. I think it's almost time to take off the robe, you guys. The Gospel of John, where the words of Jesus to his disciples are recorded, and where he tells them, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." You see, it's my belief that through the experiences of life, through the joys that we have, through the struggles that we experience, and yes, even through the pain and suffering, we grow in our ability to understand. And we grow in our ability to hear what God has to say to us. Did you hear that? Through our experiences, both the good ones and the bad ones, we grow in our understanding and in our ability to hear what God has to say to us. It's like knocking the rough edges off the stone. God can speak to us when we've been through something, perhaps, that no one else will understand. So at certain points in our lives, we are not able to understand what God is saying. Only by seeing and experiencing things, the circumstances of life, will we be ready to understand and to hear. I saw a quote this week, it was kind of funny. It said, "I was the perfect parent, and then I had children." A couple of my children are here this morning, they can attest to that. There's another one too, it's not quite as funny. It's one thing you'll hear a combat veteran will never do. You'll never hear one combat veteran ask another combat veteran to tell them about their experiences. Yes, they'll talk about it, but only after one offers. It's because they know better than to do that. You see, experience gives us perspective. And I don't care how strongly you believe in something, perspective will change how you see things. Perspective will change how you see things. There was a gentleman that I met down in Northern Virginia, and he was a retired police officer. He was a retired police officer, Roe, I want you to hear this. And he had been in charge of bomb disposal down in Richmond for a number of years, so he was very familiar with the city and a lot of the things that happened. But he had a very strong opinion regarding homosexuals. And I know that's something that we're all at different places in ourselves. And I'm not saying one thing or another is right or wrong. But he had a very strong opinion about it until his son came to him and told him that he was gay. And that man realized he was either going to have to take a different view of how he saw gay people, or he was going to have to shut off his son and reject his son. Well, he chose not to. And he said, as difficult as it was, he took the time to try to understand his son. And over time, he said the relationship they had together grew stronger than it ever had before. And that's a wonderful example of how our perspective can change. I'm not saying that all of you are there. There's no way I can stand up here and preach on a subject like that and have you change your mind. And I won't intend to. You know, it takes people a lifetime in order to arrive at where they stand on some of these things. Well, that's just one example. As we go through life and experience the events of life, we'll find ourselves in places where the Holy Spirit will be able to reveal more to us. The issue then becomes one, will we take the time to seek God in our daily existence, to read and study, to pray and to worship? And then secondly, will we listen for the Spirit and be open to newer and deeper understandings of our faith and to the implications of Jesus' revelation for us today? Are we willing to continue to listen to God and seek understanding? Can we be like John and trust that the Spirit will guide us in discerning what it means to live out Christian faith today? You'll notice that on the back of my car, there's a magnet. And it says, God is still speaking. And it's got a big comma on there. And the implication is that we should not place a comma where God has only placed, or excuse me, we should not place a period where God has only placed a comma. Now, many people think this came about through the United Church of Christ marketing campaign in 2004, but not so. You might be surprised to learn that the phrase originated with a lady named Grace Ethel Cecile Rosalie Allen. Grace Allen. How many of you have heard of Grace Allen? You're probably over 60 if you have. She was born in July 1895, they think, they're not sure about that, and she died 27 August 1964. Grace Allen, or Gracie, as her husband would call her, was an American comedian, actress, singer, and dancer, and she was the wife and partner to Mr. George Burns, who I suspect many more of you know. He's the one that said, if I knew I was going to live so long, I'd have taken better care of myself. Well, Gracie Allen died decades before her husband. And the story goes that after her death, George went into her office to sort through her papers. And on top of everything, he found a note. And it was addressed to him. It was in an envelope. So he opened it, and the note inside read, George, never place a period where God places a comma. Signed, Gracie. That's where that phrase came from. UCC didn't come up with that. Well, whether we agree or not that God's word is living and active in our lives, that's really a decision for each of us. But I am amazed that the longer I live and the more I see and experience, the more I read and study, then the more I find God speaking to me in different and new ways, fresh ways. The more I see and I feel the work of the Holy Spirit, not only in my life, but in the lives of others. You know, God is working in each of you today, in each one of you, revealing the things to you that you are able to understand, the things that you're able to appreciate. It never grows old, and it never stops. As long as we draw breath on this earth, we will continue to learn what God has for us. You know, God's love for us is boundless, without end. And all we need to do is watch and listen and give of ourselves to experience that love in our lives and to live our lives in faith. Let's pray. Lord God, I just thank you for each one here today, for the perspective that each of us brings, because we all have suffered and learned in different ways throughout our lives. And know what we believe doesn't necessarily mean the next person will believe those things. But Lord, we trust you to teach each of us individually. We know that we each have a purpose that you've called us to in this life. And we ask you, Lord, to guide us in that. Give us the strength and the courage to speak to others, to offer love and compassion in all that we say and do. These things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.